Jen and Ben, thank you so much for agreeing to come on to Empathy with Figs.
Sure.
Hi, Figs.
Yeah, pleasure.
You're welcome.
Especially because you just had a baby girl, Mia.
We did.
Yeah. Amazing. How old is Mia now?
4 weeks.
It's amazing. And she's going to be here for us with the interview.
Yeah. Yep, she's strapped on right now, baby wearing.
So sweet.
It's
so exciting. So come here. So here's, so as you know, like I'm doing this podcast, Empathy with Figs, and an interview series called Who Are You in Love? And you are the first couple I'm going to interview to try and get a sense of who you are together as one entity, as one relationship system. So we'll see how it goes.
Scary.
I know.
That's frightening.
No, I hope it's not too frightening. But I do like to say it that way. I can't help myself make it very dramatic.
Yeah.
So,
let's get into it.
Yeah, here's the first question, right, is an easy one, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe it's not, but we'll see. So can you guys think of a time over the whole course of your relationship, from the first day you met to today, where you felt really connected and in love with each other? Is there a moment that jumps out? And it doesn't have to be the same one, but how about for you, Jen? Is there a moment that really stands out for you when you felt really connected and in love?
There's been a lot of moments like that, I guess. Let me think on the spot. Well, I mean, I know the day he proposed, I felt very connected to him, of course, and that was super exciting to think about our future, embarking on the new chapter that, you know, we're going to do together. I guess a lot of the big, markers in life, like when we decided it was time to start a family, I remember feeling very connected to him when we decided we're going to become husband and wife. Even when we decided to become boyfriend and girlfriend, I remember that one.
Yeah.
We'd only known each other a couple weeks, but.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
And then I know those are all big moments, though. I'm sure there's been a lot of little ones.
Yeah. But I really appreciate you giving a few. Again, you correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the common theme between those is each one of those moments kind of was a strengthening and an increasing of your togetherness. Mm-hmm. It was like stepping over another kind of threshold that we're boyfriend and girlfriend, we're more together, we're going to get married, we're more together, we're going to have a family together, we're even more together. It sounds like, you know, that's a big deal. Kind of, it's us. Uh-huh. Anyway, what's that like? Can we reflect that back to you?
Well, I didn't even put it together until you said that. But yeah, you're exactly right. Those are all very big. I'm blanking on the word I'm trying to think of right now. But
that's okay.
Yeah.
Like benchmarks or stepping stones or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, where we're more secure in our relationship.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's lovely to have such clear kind of line running through all the moments where you felt most connected. They're all kind of leading to us feeling more secure together. Uh-huh. I love it. How about you, Ben? Is there a moment or moments that kind of really stand out for you?
I think... Well, kind of like Jen saying, like there was a bunch and they felt real different, you know, like after our first date, I think, I had gone on like a trip down to Morro Bay or something like that. I forget. But I texted her, you know, it was just like butterflies. Like I knew I felt like we really hit it off and I really liked her. And so I had that euphoria. when she just like responded, I said I was thinking of her, and she texted back and said, me too, or something super simple.
Right.
And I remember, and I was shopping in some store for shorts, and I just remember like showing my mom and being like, she likes me. like super, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Real happy. And that, you know, right. Talk about like benchmarks, that would be like the very first, you know, kind of a thing, but I still remember it vividly. Yeah. And
have you ever told Jen that before? What you're saying right now? You knew that
story? Yeah. Yeah, I did know that story because his mom actually told me that story first, and then right. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard
yeah.
it before, but it's cute.
Yeah.
So there was that early like euphoria stuff, but I think early on in the relationship where I was still, you know, we weren't living together yet or anything, was just even moments like by myself, you know, when I wasn't with her, but I was missing her. I think that was a big, I think that was just different from other relationships. Like I knew that I missed her. I wanted to see her. I was nervous before I would go over there, you know, I'd get real anxious, like not, because I cared about her a lot.
You were so nervous the first couple times we hung out at my place.
but that's so sweet, right? That, yeah, you cared that much, right?
Yeah.
That she liked you.
Mm-hmm. That was real early. And then as we moved into, I would say like the wedding time, you know, around, you know, proposing on Thanksgiving was wonderful. It was around all this family, but we had I took her out on a motorcycle ride and proposed. And I don't know, it's like it was really romantic. Like for me, I was real emotional and felt really close to her.
Yeah.
But I would say the actual like real bonding stuff has been since we've had kids, since we've had our babies. Yeah. So being in the hospital with Everly, where we had like 5 days to just as a family, just like check ourselves. Like we have a baby, we're married, right. Like, yeah. And just nap together and cuddle. I mean, that's the stuff now, where I notice myself like having moments, you know, where I'm like, wow, trip out. Yeah.
That's so cool. It's so great, right? To make that transition from, oh, I hope she likes me. Oh, that guy is nice. To here you are, like, you know, married and like you have two kids together and you get to, you know, it's so beautiful, right? To be a family. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, so, it's crazy because we've come pretty far. I mean, we've almost been together 8 years, which can you believe it's been that long? Not married that long, but since we started dating, that's a long time.
Long time.
Right.
Yeah. It's my longest relationship by about 7 years.
Wow, you picked a good one. So that's great. So let me ask you, so in those moments, like, so here's kind of the assumption here, right? Is that even the best relationships have moments of disconnection. They've got tough moments that happen. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular kind of, you know, disconnected moment that you guys get into, you know, like that you kind of get like eggy with each other?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, shall I go first?
Yeah, totally.
I think we feel most, you know, if we have a spat, like we disagree on something, then it usually becomes apparent when we're working it out how different we are. Because we're not one of those couples that are super similar and we kind of both, I think, operate on two different pendulums. And so it becomes real obvious, like how different we are when we clash. And I mean, we always make up, but like in that moment of where we're really disagreeing, like it's just apparent, like how, I guess, just how different we are.
Well, what do you, what do you give anything?
Well, how I guess I operate, I'm more like type A personality, kind of more rigid in how I like things, and I like things in order, and Ben's more laid back, doesn't really I think, like, I guess I'm a planner. He's not. Little things like that, that, I mean, are kind of big things, but somehow we'd still work good together, like 90% of the time or more. Yeah. But in that 10% where we're like clashing, it becomes apparent, like, God, we're so different.
Right.
I guess I don't describe you for everyone. You can describe yourself. But
well, I think that I am more laid back with, but also like real sensitive and infer things a lot that maybe she doesn't mean, you know? So Jen likes to, you know, like she said, have things in order and have things a certain way. And I take that, like, if she's telling me to do things a certain way because that's how she likes it, I just infer that she thinks I'm not good, that I'm not incapable of doing it, or that she's nagging me, or that this thing doesn't matter anyway. Like, in my value system, some of the things that are really important to her are completely off my radar, you know, as far as orderliness or, and some of them really should, I've gotten better with, because they are important, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I was horrible with certain things before, you know, but some of them we just do not, you know, I don't know, they're not on my radar. So she will do things just because it's her way of being, and it's not, she's not calling me stupid. She's not doing anything like that. But I take a personal, like, offense to it, and then react.
What do you do? Yeah, when you say, so let's say, Jen, you have something that, like, you know, you like the living room to be in a particular order or something, or there's stuff left around the room. Is that, like, an example of what you mean by orderly?
One thing that pops into my head right now, just because we just had a baby, is, you know, being, when I was a new mom with Everly, our 2-year-old, and now a new mom, a mom to a new baby.
Again,
there's a lot of things when you're a mom in that role where you, like, I'm done a certain way, like with your children. So that's something that popped into my head, like with the kids. I'm usually like, okay, I want her to have her nap at this time, then have a snack after, then, you know, bath time at this time, then read the book, and he's helping with a lot of that stuff, so usually it doesn't, you know, with the kids. I would say that's probably one of our most recent arguments, where he just wants me to chill out and be laid back, and I'm thinking in my head, like, well, like, if I don't do it that way, then she'll, you know, A, B, and C will happen, you know. Mm-hmm. if she doesn't follow her schedule this way, then she'll be hungry and cranky, and then I'll be cranky, and
right.
Yeah. And that's
part of it too.
Yeah. So I would say, like, that would be a pretty common example, because so much goes into, you know, what we do with the kids.
Yes.
And Jen does a ton of, I mean, she does all this stuff for them, and it's all very nice. And I work all the time, you know, and I come home and I'm kind of like, all right, time to play. You know, and she has, like, her things in order. But at a certain point, I think I will snap at her, or I'll be short with her, you know, I'll be, like, a little snarky and just be like, who cares? Like, what is it? You know, and then she'll kind of...
It builds
up. Yeah, so slow down for a second. So you have, like, I totally get it. Like, being a mom, there's all this stuff that has to be done, and you're trying to make sure everything happens on time. So, you know, the baby and Mia's not going to be, like, too hungry, or she's going to get her nap and all of that. And then you come home after working a long time, Ben, and you kind of hear, like, you want to, like, relax, have fun. And then you hear, like, Jen has got, like, could you do this? Or what about this has to happen now? And you...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what, when you say you get snarky, like, what would be an example of something, what you call snarky? I like that word.
I'd say my first line, instead of just being, like, authentic and, like, being calm and authentic with her, which I am working on, because she can totally handle it when I show up that way. We have productive conversations.
Yeah.
But I will, and I think this is probably, like, some stuff I brought into the relationship from mom or something like that, I will be quiet, and I will quietly be upset, and she'll have to ask, or I will, like, snap and be like, what are you talking about? Like, who cares? You know,
right.
or
who
I don't
cares?
know,
I, right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. This right. Or if it's escalating, I'll say these things like this is for you to feel better. Yeah. This isn't about the baby's safety or the baby's nap. This is about you.
Yeah.
Being controlling.
Needing to control. Yeah.
That's what you're judging. Right.
Like we'll go maybe a good solid 4 or 6 weeks without a big argument. And then
we don't have big arguments.
Well, without a sit down, we're like, we need to hash out, our feelings. We'll go a long time, and then usually it'll come out of nowhere. I'm not expecting it, and then it turns out there's been a little bit of a buildup happening each week that suddenly all comes out from him. So I think he stays composed and does what he thinks that I need or want him to do until he gets in a bad mood or something, and then
I file it.
He keeps us fresh.
I bring it up.
All right, right.
When the file gets full, I explode and everything comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. And Jen is a free.
And then then I find that so hurtful because I'm always I'm trying so hard, and why are you so mad over this one little thing, And he's it's not. It's been going on you've been doing that for, bugging me a while. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Right. You didn't even know. It's hard to understand why he'd be so upset over this one small thing when it turns out you've been storing up your file as full. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what would you typically say back, Jen, in a moment like that?
Well, usually I get defensive. I usually play the card. I'm sensitive too, so I start having a lot of feelings of oh, I'm not being appreciated, or he doesn't appreciate all the things that I do for the kids, and I'm protecting them. I need him to see my side, and I get defensive. Right. So,
I think that's something too. Is sometimes I feel like you really need me to be concerned about the same things that you are. Mm-hmm. When I don't, I'm just legitimately not. Worried about those things. I don't see them as as risk or whatever. So that's hard for me too sometimes.
Yeah. Well, look, that makes sense, right? We're going to have different values, as you put it. I love this. I had this moment with a really good friend of mine. I remember I stayed with him for a couple of weeks and he moved out of state, and I remember going up to visit him for a couple of weeks, and every morning I'd wake up, and if I got up first, I would fill the kettle to boil on the stove, really full. Mm-hmm. Right. And where I grew up in Ireland, that is a value that you're showing you care about other people. There's enough water in the kettle, right? Now, he'd get up in the morning and he'd pick up the kettle and see that I had boiled the kettle, I'd boiled more water than I needed. It was a waste of energy. You know what I mean? It was there was no need to boil that much water. And it was driving him crazy. It was it was just this conflict of values, both of us. So look, those things for sure, those things happen. And I find it really fascinating when, one person, likes a full kettle and the other person, please only boil the amount of water you need. But the thing that's more interesting is the emotional pain that can happen then between two people that care about each other. What I liked about what you said, Ben, is about this, what you said at the very beginning when we started talking about this, when you get disconnected, is when Jen asks you to do something, there can be a moment where you flash to, does she think I'm stupid or incapable?
Mm-hmm. That's a common thing for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And what is that like? What does it feel like inside? So now we know you can be snarky, or you can just swallow it down and I'll just do it, right? My file's not full, right? And they're great skills to have, right? But what, when you're really in that place for you of like, does my wife, this person that I love feeling connected with, and we're a family together, and now all of a sudden something she just said has brought me in touch with, does she think I'm stupid or incompetent, incapable?
Right.
What does that feel like for you?
It's like disempowering, I would say. Like it's the feeling. Yeah.
Right.
Like when I make it mean that,
yes,
it's right. Just I feel a lower sense of self-esteem, personal power, makes me a little resentful, a little insecure,
right?
A little bit.
Yeah, well, slow down, like, because
but
again,
I don't know.
Well, that's a big deal, right? Because this is, I mean, so this is one of the things like that I just think is so important is, and you can hear Mia knows it's important too. So he wants to talk about it.
Yeah, she's stirring.
So on one hand, we could look at what's happening between the two of you in moments when, here, look, we have the schedule, we have to get to it, as it's just a clash in values. But there's this other deeper process that's going on underneath where, you know, there can be moments where, at least inside of you, Ben, where like if you get any hint or like or any concern that Jen's not looking at me like, she's not looking at me like I'm stupid, is she? Or you know, not confident, that you can touch places that are disempowering and feel insecure, and you know, and it can actually touch your self-esteem. They're big deals. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And that stuff that I think good chunk of it is really directly linked to the way I was brought up,
right?
From a mom that is similar in a lot of similar ways.
Yeah.
And letting her down is terrifying to me. Like disappointing her is one of the worst feelings. So if I feel like I'm gonna, and I don't mean now, like letting my mom down now, which I don't want to do,
of course.
But there's something about getting things right for Jen.
Yeah.
That not getting it right gives me massive anxiety.
Yeah. Totally. Like, so look, what you're saying is like, let me just see again if I get it right. When you and I, if I just talk as you, Ben, for a sec, and you correct me, please, if I'm not getting it, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm going to talk as you just for a moment, Ben, right? So Jen, when you and I get in a fight, like it seems like I just got snarky all of a sudden, or I'm upset and not saying anything, or I just say, hey, this isn't actually a big deal. Like, let it go. Like if I say something like that, actually, underneath all of that, I just touch that place inside of me, deeper down inside of me, where I can feel actually disempowered and insecure, and my esteem is touched, because any time I could get a hint that I could be a disappointment to you, letting you down, I get real anxious. It's a really tough place for me to feel. It's really hard. Am I getting it?
They're linked. They're right in there in the same place.
Right.
So everything that you said is true for me.
Yeah.
The frustration or the snarkiness right in there.
Yeah.
But the real fear and anxiety of not getting it right. I mean, that sounded all very true for me.
Right.
And it's also trying to like describe something that I'm not fully aware of.
Absolutely. You know? Sometimes
I don't know why I do that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But totally.
It does seem small.
Yeah, you don't know it necessarily in the moment, but that's like the beauty about what we're doing now. And we, you know, I always like with, you know, and that you guys can do with each other is we do, and you know the way people make fun of like being a, what is it, Monday morning quarterback? Mm-hmm. Right. But this is what we kind of have to do in relationship.
Should have done that.
Well, yeah, but, mm-hmm. you know, and not necessarily so much to work out what I should have done or shouldn't have done. But like, you know, in relationship, we have a fight and then we have to have a moment to go, hold on a second. Like, whoa. Hold on. I was snarky. But what is it? What's that deeper thing that's going on inside me? And what I love, and, you know, I hope I'm not too excited.
Jen just stepped over to turn off the heater.
Oh, yeah. No worries.
Yeah.
So,
So
you can be snarky or you can be quiet, but underneath all of that, because Jen being happy with you and that you're not disappointing her is so important, that if you're getting a hint that she's disappointed in you or could see you as stupid or not able or incapable, it actually really, it hits really vulnerable places, right? Places where you can feel insecure and your self-esteem is touched and you can feel disempowered. So like, that's a pretty powerful piece of information, right? That like, it's not necessarily that I'm just Mr. Snarky Pants or Mr. I'm upset and I'm not going to say anything to you. It's that I actually, you being happy with me and not being a disappointment to you means so much that I hit really insecure, disempowered places inside me whenever I think, you know, you mightn't be happy with me. Yeah.
When she's, I mean, I think maybe like one of my biggest fears is her being unhappy.
Right. Yeah. So... Well, what's it like just like talking about it right now with her here beside you? So talking about like this place that like, and I love like, again, that you could own that you're Mr. Smart Snarky Pants sometimes, yeah. But like that deep down inside, it only happens because you long for her. You want her to be happy so much that if you get a hint that she's not happy, it touches these places that are so painful for you. Like, God, like, look how much she means to you. What's it like just talking about it right now?
A little self-conscious to talk, I guess, because yeah. It's making me emotional.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, it's funny, I can't see your face as well as because you're back there. I didn't realize that you're like, this. I feel like it's a really sad place for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, so, but come here, Ben, it's very moving for me just to see just how much you love your wife, how much you love Jen. And this is the crazy thing, right? That the moments where you could, like Jen, like you were saying that it might be like, what? You don't appreciate all I do? I'm just trying to keep the kids safe and why can't you see all that? Like in those moments that you could interpret his response to you that way, like Jesus Christ, it turns out the only reason he was talking like that, being, you know, Mr. Snarky Pants, was that like deep down inside he was feeling disempowered, right, and feeling insecure and anxious because you being happy means so much to him. It's so painful. He's got that place inside him. It hurts so much. Like, holy crap. That's quite a different... Let's just see if we try something. Because, Ben, I know, like, you know, you're a therapist, right? So I don't know if you're even open to this. And you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
What would it be like to turn and just look at her and tell her directly? Like, in your own words, that, like, hey, you know when I look snarky? It's actually because I end up, any hint that you could be upset with me, that you could be unhappy with me, I just, in your own words, the way it hurts, how much it hurts inside. If you were just to look at her and tell her.
I think that you being happy is really important to me, and when I feel like you're not, it makes me feel like I'm failing.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I just want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. Yeah. So Ben, what was that like just to tell her that right now?
I don't know. It's good.
Yeah. Well, look, it's so beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Like you're such a like, you're just, you know, you're such a strong, like, man, right? You're so, that's such like tremendous strength. And I, you know, and just to be able to see you be so vulnerable and share, like, just how much you love Jen and just how any hint that she's not happy, you can feel so sad inside and fear that you're failing. Right. And to be able to let her, like, you know, give Jen a chance to see this part of you that underneath where you seem snarky or, hey, it's not important. This isn't really just a clash in values. This is like how much you friggin' love her, how much her happiness means to you. That's brilliant that you were able to tell her. What's that like for you to hear, Jen? What's that like just to be able to hear that, you know, in those moments where he may seem like, you know, that he's snarky or he's upset and being all quiet, that actually deep down inside, he's really feeling awful inside, fearing that he may be failing to make you happy. And you can see, right, how much it means to him, how sad he can get at any hint that you may not be happy with him. What's it like to hear him let you know right now?
A couple things. I mean, it makes me feel like I want him to know I am happy. He does so much that I could go. The list is very long. We have an awesome life. So I am happy, even though I'm sometimes things are hard. But it makes me feel also when I hear about that, you know, I said I'm kind of rigid sometimes and straight laced. You know, I like things in their nice, neat box. And it makes me feel like I can see why he would get the impression that I give the impression that I could easily be disappointed because I like things. So, you know, he always says I like things my way, which I guess he's right. So maybe it makes me feel a little sad, like I'm imposing, you know, giving him the impression that like, if he doesn't do it this way, I'm not going to be happy. And that, when actually I am more flexible, I just give, I think I do like things a certain way, but it doesn't mean they have to be that way.
Right. So just slow down for a second. Come here. One sec. Like, let me just like, so here's a couple of things I hear you say, right? One is you want him to know that you actually are happy with him. You want to assure him that you're happy with him, right? That's nice, right? That's very sweet. And then I also hear you say, like, you know, I hear you, like, you want to explain, like, you know, like, that you actually get, and I really appreciate this, you're actually able to get a sense of, oh, that's how maybe when I am particular, how it may impact him. Like, it just seems like, you know, Ben sharing a little right now about the way he can, you know, he has a sad place inside him and can feel disempowered whenever you may seem you're unhappy with him. It sounds like what you're saying is you're starting to get, like, you can have a better sense of how he may be impacted when you, like, you know, I like this in this box, please, you know, 2 inches apart from the other box. but that's great, right? Because, you know, I know you said earlier when he says, hey, come here, it's not a big deal, right, that you like get defensive, right, and want to like explain all the things you do. But somehow right now when you got to hear Ben say, like, hear about, you know, it actually, and never mind the words, like, you see the emotion, the sadness, right, the pain inside him anytime you're unhappy, it helps you actually get it, actually take in, oh, I get it now, why maybe he would be snarky, because deep down inside, any hint that I'm unhappy or disappointed in him, he's actually really hurting. He's actually really hurting. I mean, am I getting that?
Yeah.
Right.
And that I project to high standards, so maybe it's hard for him to.
What do you mean?
Well, I I maybe set the stage for, or like all my demands are too hard for you to, so I'm imposing my way and it's making you feel that way.
Well, let me ask you this before we talk about that just for a moment, right? So right now, like, you know, you witnessing Ben, like, go from talking about the way he can be snarky or quiet and think it's just, we've just different values, to touching these places inside him where he actually really can feel disempowered and, like, and obviously have such sadness at the thought of you being unhappy with him and him turning to you and sharing directly, right, from the sad place, right? Not just talking about it, but feeling it right now. What, how do you feel towards him? Like right now, this moment, we're not talking about how you're going to ever, how you're going to resolve the next time you get in a fight or who's being misorganized pants and who's being Mr. Snarky Pants. We're just talking about what's it feel like right now to have Ben turn to you and you get to hear him share how much pain he can be inside anytime he gets a hint you might be happy with him. What was that like?
Makes me feel vulnerable and sensitive and really close to him too.
Yeah.
That he feels so deeply about my happiness.
Right. Yeah, what does that make you? Right? If your husband, Ben, right, if he gets a hint that you're unhappy with him, that he could feel so bad about himself inside and fear that he's failing and that have that level of sadness that he can touch, right? What does that mean you are? Do you know what I mean by the question? What are you to him?
Too great of a power in his psyche.
Too great of a power? No, I don't know. Well, you're pretty darn important, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty darn important.
Makes me feel special.
Yeah.
And vulnerable, I don't know.
Yeah, well, slow down.
I don't want to be the cause of pain.
Of course not, right? But come here, like, you know, you're, again, we are the way we are. Like, there's no part of me that ever thinks, like, I don't believe for a second that you want things organized a particular way to cause Ben pain, right? But, you know, we're going to have moments where we end up, our vulnerabilities get touched by the other person, right? But look, it's a big deal just to take in, wow, the moments when Ben looks like he's snarky with me or upset and not saying anything or saying that maybe it's not that big of a deal, just relax, that underneath all that, he's hurting inside because of how important it is to him for me to be happy with him. And you get to hear him tell you right now and just feel how special you are to him. And understand a little better why he might act the way he does in those moments. Yeah, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the vulnerable part when you said it makes you feel vulnerable. Yeah. What is it that's vulnerable about hearing him tell you right now and you get to see how special you are to him? How important your happiness is.
I guess I'm just kind of a private person, so it feels vulnerable that I like spread out all of our, you know what I mean, talk about all of our personal feelings just in that way. Yeah. I feel when I see him sad and it makes me feel like, I don't know why, I just feel, I don't know how to explain it.
I mean, I don't think I feel sad. You know, I think that we just got into kind of underneath to more what's true, like the real reasons.
Yeah.
You see these reactions from me. And it's not, you know, you being happy with me is definitely important, but you being happy in general is really important too. Of course I want you to be happy with me. I want you to be in love with me and happy in our marriage and just in general. Yeah. You know, I want you to have I have a strong reaction to that.
Yeah, I actually, I know because we've gotten into that before. He said that to me about wanting me to be happy.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I guess I get in like a negative state or if I'm complaining and stuff, but, and I remember you telling me that and I wanting to tell you like my happiness isn't your responsibility. You know, sometimes we're just, sometimes like stuff is weighing heavily on us and we just have our own reactions to the world or whatever.
Well, look, let me just say something about that, if I may. Look, that totally makes sense, right? And in many ways, what you just described is one of the key components of the wisdom of the last, like, you know, 50 years of the self-development movement, right? That, you know, I'm going to be me and I'm responsible for my happiness and you're you and you're responsible for your happiness. And there are big flaws in that kind of way of approaching relationship, right? In the sense, our life, because the reality is that we're interdependent and we all need our primary other, our person. We need to know that they're there for us in the ways that tells us we're loved and safe in the world. And so basically, here's just the way I look at it, right? Is that we're all really still babies. Nothing has changed. We're all still like, you know, somewhere between Maya and Ev, you know, your two daughters, right? Like, it was 8 weeks old and two years old, right? And when it comes to love, and just imagine with Ev for a moment, right? Imagine you were sad. You're with Ev all day and you were sad all day, right? Ev doesn't care why you're sad. She doesn't care that it's nothing to do with her, right? You know, let's say, you know, you're, you know, heaven forbid, like your aunt had to have surgery or something, right? And you're really worried and you're sad all day, right? Ev is going to be having a really hard time. Like, all she knows is her person, her primary attachment figure, her mom is no longer available and looking happy with her. She's no longer there in the ways that tells her everything is okay in the world. Right? You could explain to her, you can go, oh, by the way, Ev, the reason I'm actually not my usual happy self today is because I've got this other thing going on. Would you mind just being responsible for your own happiness for today while I have these feelings, right? So it's not fair, like, that, you know, in some ways that if you're someone's primary attachment figure, if you're that person that they turn to know, right, that they're loved and cared for and safe and that they're enough in the world, right, that they're not failing, then your moods are going to have a huge impact on them. And by the way, I'm not just talking to you, Jen. I'm just saying, like, in general, that we don't get to have, like, I'm just in a bad mood today, and have, it's not realistic to have an expectation of your partner, if they really love you, that they're not going to be really affected, right? Mm-hmm. You are so important to Ben. And Ben, please, you can correct me here if I'm saying anything. I'm just going on what you already just said in this conversation. You are so important to Ben that if you are not looking happy, he feels bad inside. Your happiness means that much. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, what's that like just to hear me say all that right now?
Well, no, it all makes so much sense and it's really deep and I mm-hmm. get it. You know, it makes perfect sense. It makes me really aware too. The example that you used to is like with Evie, you know, because I think we're both really sensitive lately to her needs too with bringing a new baby in, and so that touches on something separately. Exactly. But
right. Yeah, because she's probably experiencing, your daughter's probably experienced some of that now, right?
Yeah.
See, probably, yeah. Like, you know, like, there's another baby, right? Like, this is the thing about relationship. It's hard. Like, yeah, I'm here for you and you're enough for me. And I do still need to go put down our new baby, your new baby sister, Mia. I need to put her down for a nap, right?
Yeah.
So this is where, like, it's so important not to, like, try and spend efforts in relationship trying to work out how do we make sure we never hurt each other's feelings? How about the, you know, but instead trying to understand what's really going on, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we're not going to get to be like in bad moods without our partners being affected. It doesn't mean you don't get to be in bad moods. We just like, right. At least we can understand the realities of what's happening deep down inside of us, right? Because we're still little babies when it comes to love.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If we care about each other, yeah,
we're going to exactly. be affected. Right. And obviously, you guys, you know, it's really beautiful to talk to you guys like this because it's so, it helps me really get just how much you guys love each other, how much you care about each other. It's really sweet. It's so good.
Well, and I don't want to make Jen out like in a negative light or anything. No, I mean, I know.
I appreciate your honesty. It's hard for me to talk about my feelings, I guess, but I like hearing you talk about yours.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. I really appreciate, Jen, your willingness to take in and consider like your impact. And it was very obvious to me with Ben sharing the way he's feeling and turning to you that you really wanted to reach out and comfort him, right? I could see you like reach out and take his arm and, right? Like it was like the impulse to actually be there for him and comfort him was pretty instantaneous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I want him to feel happy too.
Yeah.
I want him to feel supported and not feel sad emotions or heavy emotions. Just want to make it better.
I think a big problem that has, you know, for us has been me not just being honest, you know,
right.
Just own it. When my truth doesn't like line up with yours, that I don't just own my truth and we don't have to agree about everything. Like, I feel like it's an argument, even if it's just us not agreeing on the same thing. And so I'll just be quiet. And then that good is a bad rabbit hole to go down. And then I blame you for me being quiet. You know what I mean? You're like, we've had that argument before where you're like, don't blame me for that. And I've reflected on that, but you're like, that's true. I'm the one who's not like speaking up and giving you an opportunity for us to just have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'll just not speak or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you can't read my mind. So.
Well, you always say I have the louder voice, and maybe that's true, but I can't change that you, so yeah, you need to speak up then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you have more opinions.
It's hard. I know you always tell me that. It's hard for me to see it though. I just feel like I'm being me. And then, which makes it so hard to change, because if it's true, then it's so ingrained in me. I feel sometimes like it's just my personality. You know,
it's us learning how to be just how to be together. You know what I mean? Yeah. And we've been together for like, it's worked, you know, we've done a pretty good job of it working and being happy most of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody's like, happy all the time. Everybody fights. Fighting is good. Or like fights, disconnected arguments. But like, how great that you guys can talk to each other like this about, you know, and not get all defensive and, you know, really both of you like talking about taking ownership of this thing I do. Like, I probably should talk a bit more. And I kind of like can see the way maybe when I'm being particular, how it might impact you and make you feel like you could touch those places where you're failing. I mean, that's great, right? Like just having that little bit of extra insight into each other. And then maybe when you do get into those disconnected moments, being able to see, like, hopefully at some moment, whether it's 10 minutes later or 2 days later, or like, you know, a month later, be able to go, you know what? Maybe this wasn't just a values thing. Maybe this isn't just because like, this is the way I am and this is the way you are. Maybe it's because we're so important to each other that I got that place touched inside where I don't feel appreciated. And it's sad for me. when I don't feel appreciated. It hurts. And like maybe my husband, the place got touched in him again where because me, I, you know, my happiness is so important to him, he just touched that place where he can fear he's failing again. And it really hurts inside him. Yeah. Maybe that's all that was going on. There's very little to do with values, actually. That's just the trigger. Mm-hmm. The values are just, it's only the little spark, mm-hmm. right? Where we touch some really yeah. deep love feelings, you know, vulnerable feelings inside of both of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so how are you doing having a conversation like this? How are you feeling right now? If we were to look back, oh, go on.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if we were to look back over from when we first started talking, right? I don't know, about 40 minutes ago to how you're feeling right now, looking back out over the conversation. How are you doing?
You go ahead.
No, you go. I'm sleep deprived right now.
Sleep deprived.
I feel good about, you know, yeah. us being able to openly talk about our feelings. I feel good mm-hmm. that Ben can be so in touch with his feelings. I think I'm really lucky to have a husband that's so in touch with his feelings, because maybe that's a stereotype, but I think a lot of men don't talk about how they feel, and that would be torturous to just be in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the things we're talking about are not new themes, so we've talked about them before, and it's sort of like good. It's good to keep, I guess, talking it out, because every time we probably get a little more understanding of each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's somewhat uncomfortable, but for the most part, it feels really good and healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell me about the uncomfortable part.
I just am shy and a little bit closed off when it comes to the idea of just speaking. So, I mean, I'm kind of private, I guess. So just talking about feelings in that way would, like, even though I think you're an amazing therapist and trust you totally with our feelings, I just, it feels awkward, like, putting it all out on the table sometimes.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really glad that you shared that. Yeah. That it does make sense. It would be awkward to talk about it. And so it's most important is that, yeah, you kind of look after yourself and don't share anything that you're not comfortable with. Mm. Yeah. How about you, Ben? Was it like just kind of talking like this and now, like, and looking back over the 40 minutes? And
oh, just like... went by like that. I love it. I mean, for me, it's like liberating, really, because it's super toxic. I mean, I hate being irritable or quiet, you know, or just like not speaking up because I don't feel connected, you know, when I'm like that. I hate it. And actually, it can't be good, nice for you, but when I can just.
Like, when you're open, then you're really funny. So that's another thing I can notice when something's up with you, because your sense of humor goes away. But normally you have me laughing all the time. Yeah. So when you feel most free, you're really silly.
Yeah. So this kind of talk, I think, really liberating.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels feels really good for me. It feels
really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, is there anything you want to share, either with me or with each other, about this question? Who is Ben? Who are Jen and Ben in love? Before we kind of just come to a close with our time together.
Hmm. I feel like right now, to answer that question, who are Jen and Ben in love? We're in the trenches of parenthood with two little ones, and it's all dominating everything. Like, it's every man for himself, like, or on top sometimes.
Trying to keep our head above water.
So that's how I feel. But we are actually super happy and enjoying it at the same time. Where I know I'm sleep deprived, and he's like, I don't know what you are right now, but I'm just feel like we're making it work, and it's fun at the same time. But that's us in love right now, is being mommy and daddy.
Absolutely.
To the two little ones.
Well, and look, well, how amazing just even to take this time to talk about just the two of you and how you feel about each other. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of, like, you being such awesome, committed parents in the trenches right now.
Yeah. We have one right here, and then we have another one on
the baby monitor. Oh, that's
watching
so
her
great.
Sleep.
That's great. Love it.
But yeah, no, it's awesome. Right now, I'd say life is really rich and good, wouldn't you? Even though it's super hard too.
Well, yeah, I don't know if, I mean, we're wrapping up, but we've really grown a lot, like the two of us. I mean, when we met, I mean, I feel, yeah, I don't know.
We were like
I've
kids.
Changed a lot. Yeah. Now, really good career and a lot of moving and changing. And I mean, I lived with Danny Miller Smith in like a bachelor pad when she met me, or no, it's somewhere else, but you've seen me through some crazy stuff.
Well, yeah, we were
and
so...
school and getting my MFT, you know.
Yeah,
like I made, she definitely didn't marry me for my money or anything, that's for sure. She like had faith. She stuck with me and had faith.
Yeah. Well, Ben, you're an amazing psychotherapist and you're in your own right. I love when I get to consult with you and check in with you about cases. And so
and I love, like, can we just flash back?
Sure.
Ben gave me a little snapshot of when you two met, whereas living at Esalen, just two free spirit hippie guys just living off the land.
With nose rings.
With nose rings.
You still got yours.
I still have mine in, I know.
Yeah.
But now look at you too. You're grown and you're on the same sort of
path.
Parallel paths. And
yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Babies and wives.
Two crazy man-childs that turned into men with still little baby boys inside of them that help other people love themselves and love their partners and their families. It's a good path. I like it.
It's an honor to do it, I think.
Yeah, it is honor.
I mean, to hear all this stuff. What are you doing?
I know.
You hear all this private stuff, you know, and there's a reason to get together and talk about stuff like this.
I know.
And who are you and I in love? I think I'd like to make it more of like a priority, you know.
Yeah.
I think the two, us being, spending more time together and being authentic like this, I think it's going to be real easy to be distracted. And I see couples do it all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think I'd like to talk like this more often.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Like somehow in the midst of all this parenting that you guys can keep making your relationship, making each other a priority and talk to each other like this. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Figs.
It's really fun.
Awesome. All right, buddy.
Thanks for
coming on the show.
Be a part of it.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay.
The Empathy with Figs podcast and Who Are You in Love interview series are not to be confused with individual or couples psychotherapy. In this podcast, I provide coaching and content for informational and entertainment purposes only. Listening or watching this podcast cannot replace the specialized training and professional judgment of a mental health care provider. If you are experiencing a medical or psychiatric emergency, please call 911 or reach out to your medical doctor.